You're on the electrical assembly for about 3.5 years, so it'll be sometime in 45 that
Oh, I don't remember, honey.
you with the services, is there any place, when you got your test, how did they give you your
The
test?
supervisor come around and hand it to you.
Is there any kind of place on the plant campus where you could get tests, or?
Well, you'd have to go across the street, and they had places over there that used to cash them. They charge you so much for cashing. But I always took mine and sent it to the bank, so I don't know. But some of those places got robbed now and then, so it was kind of bad, too.
Is there a savings bond?
Yeah, lots of bonds. We even haven't yet.
Is there much of a personal bond?
They have a drive once a year, and I just upped my bond.
Do they have any little stores, company stores, at the center?
No. Well, I don't know. What would they sell at a company store?
Well, I was thinking about you had those pictures of Lockheed and of the plane,
They just brought a whole bunch into the main office, and the supervisor comes around and gives you, and that's the way it was distributed. There was a place across the street where you bought tools, but if big tools and things, you gave you some tool checks. You got 10 tool checks, and it had your clock number on it. And you can take those and go to the tool crib and get anything that they had there, drills or a motor or a soldering iron or cutters or anything that you could use, that they have them right there in the tool crib. If that one don't have it, you can go to another one.
The other thing they had that was like the cafeteria. Was there a place where you could get?
Yeah, they had a big cafeteria.
Was that open for the students too?
Yes, all shifts.
Did they ever have any recreation programs?
Every Friday they had the band played, the Lockheed band played out there, and one of the boys later years, he used to toot a horn out there, and we used to put in our request, you know, like Easter bonnet and all those things that. And he'd see that we got our music that we wanted to hear. And they had a lot of Lockheed dances, and they had a lot of bond drives, and they had different things. They had a train trip to Juarez one time, and to the Grand Canyons and different times that you could go on.
Did they have any clubs or organizations?
Yes, they have the Lockheed Recreation Club that has everything. They make all kinds of jewelry, and they have a rock club, and many, many things they do with the. They have a regular building and regular area for it now. They play ball games and all things, kinds of things for the picnic. You know, they have a picnic once a year, and then they. You go there, you get a card from with your clock number on it, and you put your name and address on it, and they put them in a box, and then they draw so many numbers, and they give all kinds of gifts away, like garden hose and many things. The only thing I ever won is two tickets to some deer park. So that was the only time I went. But we used to go see all the gang, and everybody bring their children and their husbands, and they served chili beans and wieners and coffee and cold drinks and cotton candy, and they have clowns and merry-go-rounds and everything. That they have booths, all these little children and mothers and fathers who get acquainted with the whole family that way. They still have them. It's about in June every month.
So they were doing that even back
then. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you join any of those?
I go to everything that's going, and even today. Everything that goes on that I can go, I go.
Uh-huh. So that gave you some chance to...
Oh, yeah. Maybe your department would have a picnic, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they'd have pie-eating contests and all that sort of thing.
Uh-huh. So it sounds like there's a lot of different kinds of things. No.
Mm.
Those were all going on, a good number of them were going on during the war also.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Did, we're dealing with the dances and things for the Slinksis people. Were there one part of a special time for them?
They would have a Slinksis dance.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we had it at the Palladium.
Uh-huh.
And I have a picture. They took the whole, they got up on a balcony, and I'm standing way back here, and when I got the picture, I'm right in front. I don't know how I got there.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But I was just walking up there to see what they were doing, and here I'm in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
So you pay 50 cents for a picture, and I had a chance.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel, the damage cost about the war effort and working, say, was the war a conscious part during those war years of your work, or was it?
Oh, yes. Everybody talked about the war. I had a neighbor. She didn't had a television. I guess she didn't have a television. She had a radio, because there wasn't a television around. And she listened to all that stuff, and she was informing me all about it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times I didn't listen too much.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But she was very anxious about it.
Mm-hmm. Is there a company paper?
Yeah, I still get a company paper.
Mm-hmm.
And then the union has a paper. I get those two things even yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I still go to the union, has a retirement club, and I go to that. We had a big dinner 17th of December. And I don't know, about 200 people, and some of them you hadn't seen for years, and they had the little old choppy band over there playing music for us, and everybody brings something, and all the goodies.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
They have tables, they have these big tables, and they're all set with plastic knives and forks, and they have all the numbers of the tables, and they put them in the box or something, and they draw them. So it's not one night down the line. Of course, they always have to have those supervisors and things go first. That's always a must, but after that, they call different numbers, and then you go form a line, and you go down two tables. So that's like four lanes going down there, and you just get a paper plate and fill it up.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can always go back, because there's always a lot of food left.
Mm-hmm. So you're still doing the papers to tell about the
yeah,
plans.
Yeah, yeah.
During the words did they ever talk much about the planes being used in the war effort, or that you did you feel like you were part of?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. One lady's son died was killed in the war, and they dedicated the plane to him, and everybody went down and wrote their name on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
I have a picture of her in that plane.
Mm-hmm. What kind of work did the war affect your life at the time?
Well, I don't know. Probably slowed me down for everything. I have no regrets of it. It was the best part of my life. It really was.
Mm-hmm. Were there, is rationing ever a problem?
Yeah. You know where I bought my stockings? Off of the butcher. I didn't have to wear stockings very much, so it wasn't bad.
Mm-hmm. Probably the best thing that
happened. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Did you have to make special arrangements to get them
something? Well, when I'd go in the store, he'd come over and say, "You want a pair of stockings?" And I'd say yes. And if I had to pay, I didn't. And shoes, they were asking stuff. You had to get a stamp for shoes.
Was there, in terms of that, sugar and meat, I understand,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did your family
No. I don't use much sugar or anything, so.
Mm-hmm. With the money you were making, what did you do with you take that
time? I bought bonds and I saved my money. That's why I got a house today, is because I saved my money.
Uh-huh. Did you have plans during the war? Had you plans about what you would do with your money?
Well, it just came right now when I bought the place. You couldn't rent a place. There's no place to, and no one wanted me. I was just single alone. Nobody had a place for me. So I went to this real estate man, and he just said, well, why don't you buy a place? And I said, how can I buy it? So he fixed it so I could buy a place. There's a little house in the back and one in the front. So I bought that, and that's how I started.
Mm-hmm.
And it was right by the bus, so I was lucky.
Was that during the war?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Was it hard to find that house to buy at the time?
Well, I guess you could buy them because everybody was always... Boys were going to war, and wives were going to live with their parents or something else. There were a lot of places vacant.
Mm-hmm. What made you decide to move out from living with your family?
Well, my mother got ill, and so my brother had to take care of her, and so I was out on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all my life I haven't complained about it. I've been real fortunate and real lucky, and I think even to this day I'm well blessed.
Mm-hmm. So, was your I know your mother had remarried before you came to California. And was your stepfather still?
No, he was killed in an automobile accident in 1940.
Before even the war.
Yeah.
So was you and your mother that you were living there?
When I first went to work.
Did your mother also work? Or did you
no, work? No, mother never worked.
Uh-huh. So you were providing, you provide the support at that time? Okay. So when your brother came, he stayed there and he was
Well, no, my brother was on a day shift and I'm on a swing shift, so, and He was working, but his wife wasn't, and he had children, and I don't know, it just all worked out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So his whole family ended up moving.
Hmm?
Did his family move into where you were living, or did your mother
Mother moved out.
I see. Mm-hmm. So instead of living by yourself.
Well, I always thought I had to live with somebody until I got what I had of my own. Now I don't want to live with anyone.
Uh-huh. So, what year was it that you bought your first house?
Oh, yes, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. That was during the war, you?
Mm-hmm. I bought this in 1953, I think.
Uh-huh. So you, so what you had saved then helped you to make the down payment in the war?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Did you ever buy a car or anything?
Yeah, I got a car out in the garage, but it hasn't been out of the garage for 2 years. It's got two flat tires and the battery's dead.
Uh-huh.
But every time I took it somewhere, I couldn't get it home. I always had to call the auto club. So, you know, these mechanics, when they see a woman, they don't want to fix it right. So I just got a bus pass, and I go right out there to the street and go where I want.
Mm-hmm.
So I leave it in the garage.
Before you got the one that's in the garage, did you, like say during the war, did you...
I never drove to work. I always rode the buses, and I always had somebody to ride with.
Uh-huh.
Until the last year, and the last year I had a job.
Mm-hmm. Did you have to, the last year of the, that you were working in?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I see. Let's see. Question here. Did, you were working up through, three and a half years, I guess, something like you started in December 41, December 42, 43, 44, and then, so maybe midway through 45 or so that you, changed to working on the line?
Mm-hmm.
So, before that, though, you became a lead woman?
Yeah, I was a lead woman, honestly, yeah.
Uh-huh. How long did you do that for you? After you'd been there a while?
I don't know, after a while, because I had more seniority and the other girl didn't want it.
Uh-huh.
And the boss says to me, you can't remember any of these numbers, and that each part has got a big number on it. And I had worked in an insurance company, and I had a fabulous memory of those days. Today, I can't remember to go to the store and get what I want. But anyway, I said, give me a chance. So after a while, he was asking me all the numbers.
Uh-huh.
So you become familiar with them, just like somebody's name.
Uh-huh.
And you grow, when you get a new part, you get familiar with a new number,
mm-hmm.
and you associate that.
Mm-hmm. Have you been gradually, before the time you became a widow, have they been giving you more and more to do? Honey,
they'd start me in a department, they do the smallest job there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always out of work. First thing I know, I had the biggest one. And I had a little boss one time, I had the biggest job there, and some girl said, yeah, she's always got that thing in front of her, she's a pet of yours, and why don't you trade out? And so they gave my job to this woman that was popping off so much, and she had it about 2 weeks, and I was so far behind, I got so mad when they gave that thing back to me, that I had to catch up all this, you know, the ships have to move. So many days, and then they move, and you got to have all those parts and ready to put in.
Mm-hmm.
So here I am way behind with this thing, and then everything's hot. Get it out, get it out. So it took me almost 8 hours to work that box,
mm-hmm.
and I was familiar. One day I worked so got so mad, I worked it in 6 hours, and that boss was forever laughing at me. He tried to get me that mad again. I never did. I just couldn't do it.
What would a normal time be?
8 hours. It took me 8 hours to work that box,
uh-huh.
to sell it off and everything. And then this day I made it in 6. I don't know. Everything was just working for me, I guess. But that burned me up. She didn't open her mouth about any more jobs. It wasn't so easy as she thought it was.
Uh-huh. So you basically, they needed someone to be a lead at over the area, and at first
you
didn't think you would be able to...
Well, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess I looked young and skinny and timid, and
mm-hmm.
and they just had to try me, that was all.
Mm-hmm. Had your confidence changed at all over the time you were there?
Oh, yes. If I didn't know how to do a job, I knew how somebody over there that did.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have to have.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the blueprint, and you read blueprints, and it tells you.
Mm-hmm.
They have wire cards, and that tells you all the wires that go in there,
mm-hmm.
and the destination, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Did supervising people, what was that like when you first started doing that? That's quite different than just working on that.
Well, you're on your feet every minute, and you're running wires for this one, and you're running parts for that one, and you have to chase all over the plant and get something, and you got to keep that person at the station, and you got to keep them busy,
mm-hmm.
and there's never a dull moment.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these women have never worked a day in their life, you know, and they used to run in their home, and they were the boss, and they didn't like to take orders or anything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard. That's not an easy job.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm for the money. If I'm going to work, I might as well work for more money as less. That's the way I figured about it.
Mm-hmm. So you got a pay increase?
Oh, yeah. So
mm-hmm.
I think I got 20 cents an hour more than the rest of them. That's all.
Because
mm-hmm. all of them are the same price.
Mm-hmm.
And you work in the department, so they're all the same money.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go up a step, and all those bunch are in the same money. It's more harmony that way.
Mm-hmm.
But a supervisor or a lead man gets more.
Mm-hmm.
But it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. And then I was wondering, did you expect the job to last after the war was over?
I thought I'd be there 10 days and I could have that war all over with. Here I'm 31 years.
Uh-huh.
That's the way I thought about it. But after I got there and the war, you know, when it first started out, you'd hear all this stuff, but you didn't know what it involved.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know, you know, you're a dumb person when it comes to something like that. You know, you haven't any idea about all this shooting and the changing the people's lives and people having to move and losing this one and that one. You know, you never witnessed all that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In terms of context, did you, living in California and in the LA area, did you ever worry that the coast would be bombed? Or?
I don't even worry yet. I've made peace with my Jesus, and if it comes, it comes. That's the way I feel about it.
Yeah.
I used to think about that, but I don't think about it anymore. What's to be will be. And, and if that's the end of the, well, like we used to say in the airplane, you talk a lot, you know. We say, well, that's the end of the tape. He's gone. And that would be it. And that's just the end of the show. And that's the way to look at it.
Yeah. Did you, during the war, were many people around you seemed to be afraid that they would be bombing?
You never know how much you were protected, really. You didn't know what was what.
Mm-hmm.
And if you knew things, you're never supposed to mention them.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to mention it.
Uh-huh. Did you have to, with the war, was there blackouts, something like that?
Yeah. Well, we knew there was something on the roof up there, but we didn't know what it was.
Uh-huh. So as the war started to wind down, did it seem that, did you feel that you would still be working up?
It's all girls go. I went out there in the field, and they all went but me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking to some of these men around there, and I had more seniority in it, and they called me in at 15 minutes to 3, and the whistle was, we were supposed to leave at 3:30, and said I was supposed to go in the union office. So I went in there, and they said, well, we're going to lay you off. And so I just told them I was a single girl, I had to work, and I didn't see why I couldn't work there. I had worked all these years there, and I had more seniority than a lot of the men. And they said, well, we'll think this over. We'll call you tomorrow. We'll let you know. And I'm waiting the next day for that way out in the field there, you know, and waiting for this PA system to call you up. Pretty soon my time came in at about 10 minutes to 10. And I went in the office, and they said, well, we decided to keep you. And so then I'm out there with all those fellows, and when I didn't have a job, I took and swept under the airplane. I cleaned everything up. I cleaned the airplane, and I go get parts for what. I never was idle.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd follow me around to see if I knew what I was doing, and I could put stuff in, and there would be changes, and I could go in there and put them in. And when I couldn't get in there, all the boys were in there, I'd take my smoke berry at a different time and get it in and sold off. Before, as soon as the whistle blew, the inspector would buy it, and I'd be out of their way.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed in there, and then, I don't know how come, but anyway, we went back, and when they made that plane for Eisenhower, I got to be the one that was chosen to work in the cockpit and wire Eisenhower's plane.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat in a swivel chair in his big long airplane and dialed the telephone and talked to the kids in the hangar. And then when they moved the plane, I steered it about 10 feet, so they have to rotate the tires.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a thrill.
Mm-hmm. So now that the war was running down, you're saying, did they first start, were you still working on electrical?
I always worked on electrical all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in mock-up, you know, that's where they first started. I worked in a mock-up for a long, long time, too.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked, we had three crews, three women, three men. I had a helper, I was a man, and I wired the cockpit, and he was my helper. And then there's a next ship, and each day, you'd be so many days in that station, and then at night, they'd move these planes on you. And you'd better have all your work done and all of it sold off, because here comes the next day, you got wires to put in, you got all this thing to do. So I got a commendation from the, I don't know what plane right now, for doing a nice job. And then when they had Eisenhower's plane way out in the field, I got to go out there. And I had you couldn't take only special things that you had to have, and you did the work.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you first changed from the bench work down to out in the in the plant. Is that, had people started to be laid off yet?
Oh, yeah, a lot of them, a lot of them. Because we had to clean out all the drawers and all the parts. We had a pink, what we pink them back, you have a pink slip and you put them back into the stock. We all had to go back in the stock room. And we cleaned out the whole department, and the ones that we left, and there wasn't anybody there. So one day they come along with me, a piece of paperwork, so I had to go out in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And this other girl that had more suit than I, she refused to go, but I didn't.
So they shut down the whole department that you were working
on? Yeah, well, everything was pink back. But see, before a plane is, they make out the blueprints, and then all these components and things, they have shelves and shelves of all kinds of parts, and they each one have a number, and each one goes someplace. It's a lot of preparation before it even starts to materialize, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So... there's a lot of jobs, a lot of stock clerks.
Mm-hmm.
And then when your box is through and finished, it goes into a stock room.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're working on the airplane where it goes, and you're to install that part, you go to stock room and get that part out.
Mm-hmm. So you had to clear out everything that...
In that department at that time, yes.
Mm-hmm.